Happy Tuesday on the Ira Kaufman Podcast here on JoeBucksFan.com. January 29th, the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports is in the house. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. And the podcast, as always, as it's been since 2016, is presented by Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon and Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa. Ira, how are you today?
I'm a one-trick pony this week, baby. One trick. I'm 4 days away from the moment of truth, Steve. Going back in that room. Back in front of 47 other people that are looking up at me. And I already got my opening line. Should I lay it on you? I think I got my opening line.
Hey, if you want to share what you're going to say in the Hall of Fame room with the esteemed panel on Saturday.
I'll give you a little
go
taste.
Go for it.
Just a little taste, Steve. Here's my opening line. And now presenting the case for John Lynch, Ira Kaufman from Joe Bucks Fan. I look around the room. I stand up. I got a couple of sheets of paper in front of me. And I say, guys, this is John Lynch's fifth straight year in this room. If you've grown tired of my Midwestern accent, you know what you have to do today. That's my opening line, Steve. Now, a little humor goes a long way there, and then I hit him with the blast of how great Lynch was.
Who goes before you, Ira?
Lynch is near the top. Last year he was near the bottom. They do the two senior guys. They do the contributor right off the bat. Then they take votes for all three of them. Boom, boom, boom.
Oh, they vote right away.
They
okay.
vote right away on those three guys. And then, first position group, which is random order, defensive back. First position group. And within that, there's four DBs. We go alphabetical order.
Ty Law, first.
Brian Dawkins.
Dawkins, okay, that's right.
Ty Law, John Lynch, and Everson Walls.
Everson Walls, all right.
So Lynch will be the third modern
day
guy.
Wow, so you're third. So you're third. So the guy before Ty Law is the guy who presents before you. Is he boring? Is he sort of a bland speaker?
Well, it'll be his second time around for Mr. Ron Borges of the Boston Herald. He's going to focus all on, he had three picks against Peyton Manning in a playoff.
That's not what
game.
I asked you. Is he a boring guy, a flat guy, or is he as dynamic as
no,
you?
No, he's pretty good. He's pretty good.
He's pretty good.
He's pretty good.
All right.
So
I'm trying to figure out how well your joke will go over. It would probably be better if it was 20 guys in or 15 guys in.
Well, you could say that, but then three people might be sleeping. So I like going early. I like going early, and I like to build the momentum for Lynch.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I don't blame you. Might as well get the buzz going. All right, speaking of buzz going and speaking of Hall of Fame, Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon, they are in that category absolutely. Now you can save on a luxurious Cadillac and get more peace of mind at Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon with their like-new certified pre-owned Cadillacs. All certified pre-owned Cadillacs are inspected, reconditioned, and warrantied. And right now get special financing and pay thousands less than new car prices. Visit EdMorrisCadillacBrandon.com or they're right there for you on Causeway Boulevard. And Ira at Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher. General Manager Brian Danahy is ringing in the new year by rolling out the red carpet with incredible offers on new Cadillacs. Get red carpet savings on new 2018 CTS luxury sedans, Ira, for just $529 a month. Lease zero down or get 0% financing 60 months and up to $19,000 off all remaining 2017s. That's only at Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher. Visit EdMorrisCadillacTampa.com. The dealer has all the details.
I don't understand how Ed Morris's monthly figures keep going down. I don't understand that. Gas prices are going up. My bills are going up. And every other week you're coming on this podcast and saying lower and lower monthly bills for Cadillacs. How does this happen, Stephen?
Just the magic of Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. Now, Ira, speaking of magic, there was a disappearing act. We're going to go right to that before we get into your column on Monday, which was very intriguing, but I wanted to get your wisdom since you've been around since the 50s, covering the Bucks since the 30s, covering World War II for the New York Times.
Did I watch Ozzie and Harriet in the 50s over there?
Dirk Cutter, he wasn't at the Senior Bowl. Neither was Mike Smith. Neither was Todd Monken. Do you have any explanation for this?
He better have a good explanation, Steve. I mean, a lot of coaches show up there, and if you're 5-11, I think it's kind of incumbent that you're represented now. I know Jason Light was there, front and center. I understand that. But Jason Light always tells us how important coaches are in the grand scheme of things in terms of the draft. Steve, they tell us what they want. We try to fit people into a scheme. So wouldn't you think Cutter and Smith and Monken, now with his new role, would all be attending with Light, comparing notes on the top senior guys coming out? I mean, this is a huge draft. The Bucks pick in the top 10. Critical year for this coaching staff. And the coaching staff, by and large, doesn't show up. I'd like to get an explanation, Steve, because if ever there was a year when a Buck coaching staff needed to show up at a Senior Bowl, I thought it would be 2018. With everything that's at stake, make or break year. And not just for the coaching staff, but for Jason Light, too. Everybody knows it. Nobody's going to deny this. Make or break year. You flop, you fly. You do well, you get an extension, or you keep your job. That's just the way it is in pro sports. Year three for the Cutter regime. Year five for Jason Light. Where are the Buck coaches? I know we'll get these guys in Indianapolis, and I think that probably should be one of the first questions that's asked.
I don't know if you can recall any other time in your history that you remember something like this, but when you really put it together and you look at Cutter, Monken, and Mike Smith not going to the Senior Bowl, I mean, sure, one of them might have had a family emergency or something, but certainly not all three.
Those are your two coordinators.
And those are your coordinators. That's your head coach. But those are also arguably the most experienced eyeballs on the staff. Mark Duffner, probably the exception, veteran linebacker coach who's also been a defensive coordinator in the NFL. It's odd.
Now, you know, you're still going to study film on the top senior, prospects. I understand that, Steve. But I think there's something to be gained by being there. You have access to these guys. Now, you can talk to them.
Sure.
You can talk to them in Indianapolis,
and
too.
Every coach says you're better off seeing a guy in person. Now, I understand it's practice and all that, but it's very strange. Now, I floated you a theory, Ira, before the podcast, and Lee DeCamper's on assignment. For anybody wondering, Lee is not here on assignment at the Super Bowl, patrolling the grounds there, soaking up all kinds of great interviews and Bucks-related nuggets.
And drinking a lot of beer.
Drinking a lot of beer when he's not doing that, or whatever the local drink is.
What is your theory, Stephen? Let me hear.
Well, my theory was maybe Cutter has realized the vital importance of free agency, and in this season coming up, the vital failures of the Light regime and free agency, and maybe Cutter said, "Look, you know what? We're gonna, instead of the 32 hours we'd invest at the Senior Bowl on stuff, and collectively put the three of us together, that's 96 hours." And maybe it's really 120, depending on how long their days are. We're going to put all of those hours into free agency. It's only 6 weeks away. Jason will catch up with the draft evaluation in late March after your team gives us a report, which is typically when the coaches start looking at actual film. That's just my only guess, is that Cutter wants a heavier hand in free agency.
That's a very nice theory.
But you don't like it.
That's a very nice theory. It's also a wrong theory. There's also a theory that we never landed on the moon in 1969. Isbitz, you want to participate in that one? Come on now, Steve. Now, let me throw this out at you. If the reason for the absence is let's have a laser focus, laser, on free agency, maybe they should have showed up at the Pro Bowl to mingle with some potential free agents. There's going to be a couple that shake free. That you don't expect, always are. And some of them might have been in Orlando last week. You could have been hanging around those guys. So, Steve, nice thought. Laser focus, free agency. To me, you've got another 6 weeks for free agency. I think you can spare 3 or 4 days and go to Mobile and join your general manager in the evaluation process.
Well,
nice try, Steve.
Well, that's a moon theory as well, Ira, because, look, all those guys at the Pro Bowl are still under contract. Dirk Cutter can't start having lunch with Aqib Talib.
Well, if McCoy can talk about these guys, so can everybody.
It's very strange.
You can press a little flesh, Steve.
You can certainly press some flesh, but you can't talk to these guys. You're going to get in trouble. You know how that is. I don't buy that either, but that adds to the mystery. What the hell? Where's the coach? They haven't spent time hiring new coaches. It's not like John Gruden's assembling a staff.
Well, wait a minute. Haven't you heard about the big Buck shakeup? Todd Monken is now the coordinator.
All right, so we'll go to that, Ira. We hear a Tampa Bay Times report over the weekend that Todd Monken is going to be full-time coordinator, no longer part-time coordinator and wide receivers coach.
What does that mean? He's going to walk around a lot? He's going to walk around unit to unit?
You tell us. What does that mean?
Well, before Buck fans start going crazy that how vital a role Monken's going to play in Dirk Cutter's offense, I remember the Gruden era when he named Bill Muir offensive coordinator. Bill Muir was the offensive line coach. Well, he wanted to give Muir a title, And Muir deserved the title. He'd been at it a long time. And Gruden wanted to throw him a bone. He probably got some more money out of it. But as far as play calling or, devising a game plan, Bill Muir didn't do anything more than he did when he was an offensive line coach. So, to me, it's an odd, maneuver. I think the Bucs might miss Monken in the receivers room. Before you start talking about what Monken can add to the mix, overall, he did a pretty good job with the receivers. Godwin's come along
He's nicely. Done a great job. He's done a great job.
Yeah. So, just like when Cutter became the head coach instead of coordinator, he lost a little hands-on, a little bit, with Jameis Winston and some other aspects of the offensive game plan. Monken might miss a little day-to-day with the receivers group, and that could be a detriment.
Now, it's killing me, Ira. I forgot the guy's name that they promoted. It's escaping me. Young guy, like 35. He was on the staff as an offensive assistant. Had a cup of coffee in the NFL, but never caught a ball in a regular season. Rather inexperienced coach, and he played for Cutter at Arizona State. Really bugging me, I can't remember his name, but it doesn't really matter. They didn't go out and necessarily interview for the best possible candidate again. And
that guy's going to have a lot to work with, Steve. He's got a lot to work with.
He's got a tough job. That's a tough job. Now, we don't know if Monken's going to, still be overseeing a bit, which he will, but DeSean Jackson, Mike Evans, Humphreys, Godwin, that's a very diverse
group. Very diverse group.
And, there's some egos in there with Jackson. You have to not necessarily manage him, but you surely need a savvy eye on him.
You got a mix of veterans, young players.
But what does this mean for Monken? You joked around and you quipped, hey, he's going to walk around a lot now.
Well, I think...
What's he going to do with the extra time, Ira?
You know where it's going to help Todd Monken? Get his next job. Might help Todd Monken get his next job. If the Buck offense blossoms like it did in 2015...
So you're saying he did his friend a favor here?
Well...
Or is he... What does this
you
mean
said
for
what's,
the team?
You said what's in it for Monken. So I'm answering your question.
What's in it for the Bucks?
Well... Maybe Monken can relieve some of the pressure off Cutter for devising game plans, calling plays in particular situations. Monken's savvy. We were lucky to have him at the podium the last couple of years. And I'll tell you what, he's a good quote. Now, that doesn't help the Bucs win any games. But he's sharp. He's sharp. And I think he's on a fast track, Monken. Doesn't mean he's going to be a head coach in 2019. But I think if you put a little more on Monken's plate... I think Buck fans are going to be pleased overall with what you get.
It's an interesting move. I think nobody should get their hopes up that, like, some fans have their hopes up that, Cutter shouldn't be calling plays.
That's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen.
But Monken was already involved in the game plan, that process. Cutter's pretty open with his guys. I don't know. I don't know what the difference is.
Maybe this is the organization's response to the critics that say, what are you going to do? Status quo? You're not going to change a little anything?
That's a crappy response, Ira. That's like people saying they don't like your shoes and you change your socks, to get a different
I'm not wearing any socks. So how do you like
something.
That is? But
I don't know. All right. Well, Ira, you wrote a column on Monday. Gerald McCoy, of course, I was at the Pro Bowl. I had asked him the question about free agency.
Oh, I didn't even give you the credit over there, Steven.
I asked him, it was interesting, Ira. I asked McCoy, what are you looking for in a free agent? He was asked, are you recruiting out here, that kind of thing. And I asked him, look, well, what are you actually looking
for? By the way, you said he was in an effervescent mood, just the smile on his face and couldn't be happier.
Yeah, very bubbly, whereas last year's Pro Bowl, he was very kind of anti-media, a little standoffish.
Coming off a 9-7 season last year.
Yeah, he was. I think he felt a little bit screwed by some of the media last year at the time. I don't know. I don't even remember. It's last year. But I do know I had to pull teeth to talk to the guy last year.
Steve, this year he's still mentioning how some fans want him traded. And that irks him. There's no question about it.
I think
it.
He kind of accepts it at this point. I don't know. But whatever it was, he was very very holly and jolly. So I ask him, Ira, I say, Gerald, with this recruiting, what are you actually looking for? If you could play GM, what's more important to you? What's tops? What's the kind of guy you're looking for? And his answer is... Mike Bennett, Aqib Talib. That's
you were asking for a general description.
Well, yeah, I wanted to get a sense if he was looking for
a guy who fits in the room,
an anti-swaggy. Setting him up. I'm going there with questions, and that's where he goes. And
he's very specific.
And he's very specific, and he's very serious that those guys should be brought in if they're available. And he talks some more. And you wrote a column about this.
You know what my first reaction to
what
that
was your reaction
since you told me the story behind. that spurred McCoy's comments. My first reaction is he's probably already had conversations with these two guys and knows where they stand with their respective teams. Now, I think Bennett would like to be back with Seattle if he had his druthers, but it may not be up to Bennett because I think if they cut him after June 1st,
sure,
they only have to pay $1 million penalty, and he's making $7 million or whatever it is. So my reaction is that McCoy's already done some recruiting with these guys personally. They talk all the time, Steve. Players talk. You know that. They may not talk to us. I think one of the first characteristics that come to mind is he's already played with these guys. He knows them. He knows them as players. He thinks they're reliable players. Both come with baggage, no question, off-field baggage. But as far as being Warriors, hey, nobody's knocked Aqib Talib's work ethic. Nobody's knocked Michael Bennett's competitive spirit. These guys want to win. So in between the lines, these guys are studs. There's no question. Now, they're both about 32. That could be a warning sign for the Bucks. We don't know. It might have been a warning sign on Calais Campbell in terms of adding him. But we saw how that worked out in Jacksonville. I think you got to go beyond the guy's age, as Brent Grimes has proven to us. And you got to say, does this guy have 3 good years left to give us?
Well, your column was kind of a buyer beware sort of message.
It was.
So what do you do? If these guys are available, and obviously the Bucks have plenty of money under the cap, to, let's say Talib's out there and Bennett's out there, and you're going to need a 2-year deal to sign these guys, let's say, what do you do? What do you do as
GM? I'm going to say this, Steve. Don't listen to everything that you're hearing about how great the locker room is. The leadership on this team, they can't stop talking about it. Everybody loves each other. There's no turmoil in this room. That's not necessarily true. As we noted at the end of the penultimate game in Charlotte, there were some problems. For the most part, it's a good room, Steve. I think you'd agree with me. But to say it's all kumbaya and let's hold hands, that's not true. And some of the problems came through free agency. Guys were not vetted enough. They weren't vetted enough in terms of what they bring to the locker room. Some people say, who cares about that? I care about, does the guy want to play, from 1 to 4:30 on Sunday afternoons? Steve, there's a little bit more to it than that. These guys spend almost 7 days a week interrelating with their teammates. Their attitudes rub off, especially if they're a veteran. It could be a positive attitude or it could be a negative attitude. Now, the Bucks are relatively young. You got to watch that kind of stuff. Specifically for Talib, we know that he's combative. It doesn't take much for him to lose his cool. He does some weird things in the offseason, maybe even worse than weird. We remember that incident in Texas brandishing a gun, and he didn't pay a penalty for that. Somehow he got off. We don't even know what happened in that case, but it didn't sound good. We know how easy it is to get his goat. You think Mike Evans is easy to get under his skin? Talib makes Mike Evans look like,
Bette Midler?
No, not Bette Midler, but, the most down-to-earth and has it together a player in the league. And Bennett has his own off-field issues. And you wonder, Steve, you wonder how some of it would go over in a city like Tampa. Tampa's, a military town. Colin Kaepernick's stance was not particularly popular in Tampa. Not with everybody, but I'm saying generally speaking. And we saw what happened with Mike Evans when he got involved. He ended up apologizing. And Bennett's very outspoken. And then you had that whole Las Vegas thing. The more you looked at the Las Vegas thing, Steve, and the claims that Bennett made that night, how he wasn't running, but the video shows that he was running. His story doesn't hang together particularly well. That casino, it was last August outside Vegas. This was before the Vegas shootings, a couple of months before. He claims he was mistreated by the police. The cop said, "Move and I'll blow your head off." Now, of course, the Vegas police dispute the report. That doesn't mean Bennett was inaccurate in what he's saying. But the video doesn't back up Bennett's account, and nothing's ever come of it that you and I know about it. So, there's some off-field issues with Bennett, but he's a very versatile player. I think buyer beware holds true. If I'm light, I'm evaluating the chemistry issues almost as heavily as I am the impact on the field issues.
Well, that's nice to say, but he didn't do that last year. So now we have to think that Light's going to learn from that and evaluate the chemistry stuff harder. And then what? I mean, what do we get?
You got to be careful who gets sprung in free agency. Most of the time, there's a reason behind it. A lot of times, it's salary, but not always. You know, we saw what happened with a couple of Tampa Bay's own guys in free agency that they brought in. They didn't work out, Steve. And in fact, I think they had a detrimental effect on the team as a whole. And you don't want to repeat those kind of mistakes.
So if Tlaib's available next week, let's say the Broncos do him a favor, because sometimes guys get cut as salary cap casualties. They get cut early as a favor to them because teams can keep them all the way to the
end.
He's
a big ticket item, Steve. Teams
can keep their guy until the start of the league year in the middle of March. But when they like the guy, they get rid of him early to give him more time to latch on with a team, and because he can be signed early and the money pot is full, right? That's when the Bucks, for example, got rid of Josh McCown right after the season. That gave McCown a chance before the free agency bell rang to visit with teams and get his piece of the pie before everybody else is at the buffet. So if Tlaib is let go in next week, 2 weeks, and he's out there, and I think your theory is right that Gerald's already talked to Tlaib and said, hey, man, you want to come home if you're free?
That would probably close the door on Brent Grimes coming back, I would think, if you pick up Tlaib.
Why? Well, forget about that for a second. If he's available in 2 weeks and everybody knows what Tlaib's about, I think he's an open book. We've all seen what he's about.
He's short-tempered. He's no question about
it. He's a unique player in that he does practice hard. McCoy told me that. Went out of his way to tell me that.
He's serious about his craft.
He receivers say he makes them better. He had a tremendous relationship with Tom Brady, who had a lot of great things to say about Tlaib's competitiveness in practice. And he's a good player.
And he played for an elite defense a few years back. Elite.
Yeah, he's been to two Super Bowls, and he seems to have a lot of love for Tampa. We talked to him, I think you did, I know I did, 2 years ago when he was here with the Bucks. Playing the Bucks in 2016. Sorry.
Now, Steve, here's an aspect.
So do you sign him?
Steve, here's an aspect we haven't talked about.
I'm cornering you. All right, you sign Tlaib. He's
it holds
in 2 weeks.
For Tlaib and Bennett, and right. It goes right to your point.
All right.
Right to your point. Where are the Bucks? Where are the Bucks right now in the cycle? Where are they? If they were coming off 9-7, you'd say, gee, Tlaib could put us over the top. Sign the man. Now you're coming off 5-11. You got holes everywhere. Is Tlaib going to help you run the ball better? Is Tlaib going to help you pass rush? Well, you could argue, well, he's going to make the quarterback hold the ball for another second. That could help. I understand that. But you still got Golston rushing the passer, at this point.
That misses the point, Ira. If he's available in 2 weeks before the whole free agency thing starts, and so this is your first chance to improve the team at a major hole, which is corner. I mean, Hargrave's getting demoted last year. That just didn't happen on a whim. That was some serious decision by the whole regime. You know how that stuff goes.
My answer is I bring back Brent Grimes. I bring back
so
Brent
no on
Grimes.
Tlaib.
No on Tlaib.
No on Tlaib.
Now there's a chance you can't get Grimes. Who says you're going to get Grimes?
Then why don't you sign Tlaib? Well, how about both? What's wrong with both? Now look at Irish shaking his head.
So your corners are 32 and 35, and you're going out there on fall Sundays. Where's that leave Hargraves?
Who cares? He can play corner. Play nickel. They liked him at nickel in the few games he jumped
so
in.
If you draft a rookie corner, which they will, he doesn't play behind these guys. He doesn't play.
Maybe they go to Tlaib.
I mean,
and work on developing Hargraves. I mean, they believe in Ryan Smith. I don't, but they
do. He's going to come at a hefty price tag. You can't argue that.
Sure,
Tlaib ain't playing for $4 million.
But don't you have to take what's on the table in front of you?
There's other corners out there that are be cheaper.
All right, Ira. All right.
Corners.
Sage wisdom. I just want the team to be better. I think, but as you said, where are they? Where is
where
this
are
team?
They?
But nobody knows where they. Where do you think they are? You think this is a lost type of season?
I think they're somewhere in the middle between 9-5 and 5-11, which gives you 7-9.
That's
last place. They were 7-19.
Yeah, which would have been last place in this division.
You know, and until they fill the major holes, the major ones, which is pass rush and run the ball better, a lot better. I don't think they're going anywhere.
Little depression from the Sage. Very interesting. Very interesting, Sage. I hope you feel better. obviously, I'll end it this way on that note. Mike Bennett, are you higher on Bennett than Tlaib or lower on Bennett than Tlaib?
I'm higher on Bennett because he fills a more dominant need, the dominant need, which has been described by the head coach himself. We can't generate enough of a pass rush with our four-man front. Bennett is a very good pass rusher. He's not, you know, I think he's only had more than 9 sacks once. Only once. But he's consistently in the 8 or 9 category. And playing next to McCoy, who I think is a better defensive tackle than anybody Seattle has right now, that number could go up. And Bennett's versatile enough to go inside. He's got great versatility. So for those reasons, and I think he comes cheaper than Tlaib, although he's not cheap. So, you know, look, we've had Bennett in that locker room, Steve, you and I. Intelligent, always a go-to guy. Bennett speaks his mind freely.
He's hilarious. I love him.
He is hilarious, and I was sorry to see him go from a media perspective.
Sure.
You know, he fills a big void, and they don't, unlike they have a Grimes maybe to fall back on with Tlaib, they don't have anybody to fall back on as far as Bennett's concerned. And the free agent defensive lineman, it's not an enticing group. Because Lawrence isn't going anywhere. Ziggy Ansah, you don't think is going to be available.
It's not an enticing group. I just look at it differently, is that the Bucs defensive line is so brutal, so horrific.
Bring them in.
Just get average. And then we'll all be a lot happier if you can just be almost average.
Now he's going to speak his mind. He's a free spirit.
Well,
you know, if the Bucs can handle that.
How are they going to handle that? Come on. Can this team really handle that? They don't know what the hell they're doing.
He might take over the locker room. And it wouldn't take him long. Wouldn't take him
long. Is that a bad thing, you think?
It may not be a bad thing.
Does he need to leave there to help him?
Comes from a postseason pedigree. Knows what it's like to play in big games. So does Tlaib.
I mean, the whole locker room thing. Look at what, I mean, how did Swaggy Baker survive 16 games before somebody ripped into him?
That's a problem. That's a problem. He wouldn't last a month in Seattle. He wouldn't have lasted a month. Somebody would have got him. Cam Chancellor? Bennett, they would have been lining up to take pot shots at this guy. You know that.
I know. That's why I don't think this is a very good locker room. I don't know. It's messy. The biggest question you asked, Ira, the biggest question going here is where are the Bucs? Where are they? You know, and
all of a sudden, that's a major question.
And I agree with you that they're somewhere between that 5-11 and that 9-7. That's sort of where they are. And if this team went 7-9 back-to-back seasons instead of 9-5, I think in some ways we'd still be in the same boat. But, well, we have a long off season to dive into where the problems are greatest in the plan. I just don't know if the team has a plan, but maybe they do. Maybe that's why Cutter's not
now,
at
Steve, one more point to make.
In Alabama.
You said this, and you're right. The D-line, it's old. D-line's old, except for Noah Spence. You know, it's old. Clinton McDonald, McCoy, Golston's been around. You need injection of youth, and Bennett's not going to help in that regard. So that's one more factor.
No, it's almost depressing when you start to think about it. But then you start to think about
him. Ayers again. You know, you throw him in there.
Ayers. You start to think about the offense isn't far away at all from being great, not just okay.
The numbers don't show that, Steve. The numbers.
Well,
don't
sure
show.
They do. They move the football. If they could just get a little better in the red
zone. How about scoring some points?
Well, that's what I'm saying. You just get a little better in the red zone, and if you don't rely on a crappy running back for 2 years, things are going to start looking up. I don't know. All right, look, you mentioned we touched a little bit on free agency and these guys. The Bucs have a chance now, Ira, now, to sign Brent Grimes. Right, you don't have to wait till the bell rings. You can sign him right now. You can re-sign your own guys at any time.
And what has Miko indicated? It's going to come down
to
money.
It's come down to money. Do you just get this deal done right now? Do you try to use Tlaib possibly being out there as leverage and say, look, Brent, Aqib Tlaib, he wants to come back to Tampa.
Pro Bowl corner.
You know, he's in the ballpark. We love you, but he's in the same ballpark. Gerald feels good about him.
We want to know where we stand with you right now.
We want to sign you now. Otherwise, we're going to pursue him. They have a little leverage, I think. because Tlaib feels plausible for Tampa. Miko, Brent, they could see, yeah, well, Tlaib wants to come home, and Gerald's...
Why do we want to leave Tampa? We don't want to leave Tampa.
Right. So don't you think this thing should get done right now?
That's
if they want Grimes, get him down.
That's not
get him
bad.
Done.
Yeah, get him done. Get him done.
You think they get him done this month?
I do, because I think they like everything about Brent Grimes, and his connection with Smith and Cutter certainly doesn't hurt, and the fact that he's at least matched expectations in his 2 years in Tampa, and I think Buck fans might even argue he's exceeded expectations. They knew he was a good player. They didn't know how good, and he's pretty durable, too. He missed some games with shoulder injury last year, but he's a nice fit in the room, too, Steve. That's got to count. Everybody, all his teammates like him and respect him.
Sage, of course, your podcast, Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. Go to their websites, edmorriscadillacbrandon.com. EdMorrisCadillacTampa.com. Those are the Cadillac dealerships in Hillsborough County, and you are going to be impressed with 70-plus years of family-owned Ed Morse.
Should I drive a luxury sedan to Minneapolis this week, Stephen?
Well,
you're
flying, Ira. You're flying.
I'm flying.
And you might need a good battery because it's going to be a negative temperature.
Are they going to de-ice the wings when I...
I hope so. I hope so, Ira. You might want to have some extra Riesling before you get on the plane. All right, look.
I'm not even staying for the game, Isbitz. I'm not staying for the game. How do you like them apples? Let our listeners know that. I'm going up there on a mission, Steve. And that mission is zeroed in on Saturday.
Are you flying back Sunday?
My Super Bowl is Saturday. Forget the Patriots and the Eagles. It's all about Saturday.
So are you going to text me so I have some advance to break this
thing? I thought you were going to tell me I'm a 4-point underdog, Steve. You going to tell me that too?
All right. Now, Thursday's podcast, we're going to get a little deeper on some of the new Hall of Fame nuggets, but you wanted to share one today, as you already gave us a little bit of your opening. You already gave us your opening line.
I did.
Who can beat that? But you did.
Should I say Midwestern accent or Northern Iowa? Well, should I be more specific? What do you think? I think Midwestern covers it, Steve.
Yeah, Midwestern's good. Midwestern's good.
There you go.
Or you could go Minnesota. Go Midwest.
Go Midwest.
So look, Ira, you've been doing your research, all kinds of angles. I know you finally caught up with Coach Dungy, who missed your breakfast. For those who didn't hear the whole story of Ira's breakfast with Derek Brooks.
And it started off with the windshield. I can't see.
Speaking
can't
of de-icing, see. Ira struggling to drive. Did you see the comment, Ira, the guy
under
the podcast, one of the guys wrote, Ira driving around Tampa like he's Mr. Magoo. This
hysterical.
Is fantastic.
Hysterical.
Fantastic. All right. What's one of the things you found? One of the small nuggets of the case you're going to make to help you with the John Lynch sales pitch?
All right, here's the backdrop that our listeners need to know. Some people in that room who normally have been in there a long time and they know the dynamics, a lot of them think that a safety is going to be part of the class of 2018. Well, there's two safeties, Brian Dawkins and John Lynch. Last year was Dawkins' first year of eligibility. This is Lynch's fifth year in the room. Both of them survived the first cut from 15 to 10 last year. Dawkins, first year of eligibility, made the top 10. He's a formidable opponent. So I got to look for ways to separate Lynch from Dawkins. Dawkins has the numbers by the pure numbers. What has Lynch got? He's got a Super Bowl ring, and he's a critical component of an iconic defense. I don't think anybody is calling the Eagles defense, which was good under Jimmy Johnson.
Sure,
it was good. But it's not it doesn't compare to the Bucs. And that defense from Tampa already has two guys in, so why would you give three to a defense that won one Super Bowl? Well, because they were fantastic for 8 years. When Lynch became a starter in 96 till the time he left, him, Sapp, and Brooks led the way. And Lynch was just as important in his own way as the other two. So I did a little research, Steve. You know, I was good in math. I got a 98 on the Algebra Regents, New York City. And without looking at the Muriel Ginsburg's, papers. And I so the mantra for those Buck teams, Steve, I look at the quarterbacks. You know, Trent Dilfer, starting in 96 when Lynch became a full-time starter. Sean King. And Brad Johnson for the final 3 years. The mantra was, Sapp would tell the guys, they're coming up with their offensive game plan. Hey, forget all that stuff. Get 17 points on the board and we'll handle the rest. And Brooks would be in the back nodding, but Seth would be the guy that says it. And I want to see how accurate that is. So I checked. From 96, Lynch's first year as a starter, through 2003, his last year in Tampa. That's when the big three were together. 8 years, Steve, is an eternity by NFL standards. An eternity for a defense to be dominant. I subtracted the games that Lynch didn't start over those 8 years, which was about, seven games. The guy was an Iron Man, by and large. Not as good as Rondé Barber, but very durable.
Sure.
So I subtracted those games, and I came up with the figure, how many games and how many times the opponent scored 17 points or less. 17, not 21, not 20, 17. Doesn't seem like a, that seems like a pretty high standard. That's a high bar.
Absolutely.
The answer, 64% of the time, Buck opponents during those 8 years failed to score more than 17 points. Six, that's two out of three, basically. Two out of three, that's 10 games a year. 10 games a year, Buck opponents didn't top 17 points, with Lynch playing a critical role. I'm going very strong on John Lynch as that third and final piece. Rondé Barber's got his own arguments, Steve, and I can't believe he's not in the room. But when he gets in the room, which I think is going to be next year, he'll have his own arguments, and it's going to be a singular arguments. Rondé Barber did this, Rondé Barber did that. Lynch is different. Lynch is a linchpin, so to speak, pardon the English, of the great defense of its era. And I even checked the Bears from 83 to 85, Buddy Ryan. They had three Hall of Fame defensive players, Singletary,
sure,
Dent, and Hampton. Three Hall of Famers off that defense. Buddy Ryan overseeing it, 83 to 85, the peak, the absolute peak of the Bears, which included their incredible 85 defense. Over those 3 years, 60% of the time, they held opponents to 17 points or less. And that's only for 3 years compared to the Bucs 8 years. So what I'm saying is there can be no denying the greatness of that Tampa 2 defense under Dungy and Monty Kiffin. And then when Dungy left, Kiffin was still there, for 2 years for John Gruden and kept the same principles. And the players were still there.
Sure.
And, even in 03, Steve, and the Bucs slumped badly. I think they finished, 7-9, I believe, in the defense of their title, 7-9.
One of the worst coaching jobs in the history of the NFL.
I mean, even though they opened with that fantastic 17-0 win at the Link, it's fantastic.
Did you hear what I said, Ira? One of the worst coaching jobs in the history of the NFL.
Wow. The 03 Bucs, they still had Sapp, Lynch, and Brooks, and Simeon.
And Rice, and Barber.
And Barber.
Five Hall of Famers
believe,
in your
I
mind.
I believe they went 7-9.
Who goes 7-9 with five Hall of Famers, Ira?
But they were still a good defense. They were still a good defense. What happened was they were never quite the same after that incredible comeback by the Colts on Dungy's birthday.
I was there. Yeah. I understand. Yeah. So bad coaching. Go ahead.
All right. So anyway, Lynch's numbers are not going to change. But he's a Hall of Famer because even when he went to Denver, he transformed their defense. He was an immediate captain. He's in their ring of honor. Different system. Second year in Denver, he gets four sacks and four forced fumbles. Four sacks and four forced fumbles. Different system, different teammates. He's asked to do different things. He's allowed to show off his pass rushing skills, which he didn't in Tampa. So I'm going in. Look, I was very confident last year because I thought it was a relatively weak class behind LaDainian Tomlinson. This year, you got Ray Lewis. We'll talk about more about this on Thursday. We'll break down the class, Steve. But you got Ray Lewis, and you got Randy Moss and Terrell Owens coming back from last year. I mean, it's rough.
You got Lovey out there lobbying for Urlacher. And, frankly, guy, you know it is, Ira, because of the politics. Urlacher's on defense. They're going to want to balance it with some offense. And you got the whole all the other guys, you got a lot of defensive backs. The Dawkins vote is going to be split. I think both of you guys, you and your friend Domowicz from Philly, have the tough sledding ahead because that vote's going to be split.
Well, that's why I've got to draw distinctions between Lynch and Dawkins.
I think it's still going to be split, Ira. How do you fight the split?
Thank you for your encouragement,
Mr. I believe in you. I just don't believe in the voters. I think they should put both guys in.
I have to make it clear that if you're going to put a safety in, Lynch has to be first.
How do you do that without mentioning Mr. Dawkins, that's tough.
You know what?
I'm just being real.
I'm going to save my bigger nugget for Thursday.
No, I want you to. I want you to. We're going to get into it.
My bigger nugget on Thursday? I've already told you what my opening line is.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you my closing line.
Oh, the closing line.
The closer, my friend. Always be closing. Second prize, set of steak knives. Always be closing.
More
Steve.
Movie quotes from the stage. We're going to leave it on that note. We'll close with that. Ira, get out of here. I will see you before you put on your trench coat and your long underwear.
I do. I just sent my raincoat into the cleaners. It's all ready, baby. And all there right. better be some padding underneath.
Get out of here, Ira.